him and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus did make many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written there that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think Thomas gets a bit of a bad rap. He's known as Doubting Thomas because he doubts the words of the other disciples. Not because he doubts Jesus. No, he doubts his friends, the others. And I also, for me, think that Thomas is also a bit of a hero because he owns his doubt. You see, I'm riddled with doubt. I'm doubtful about everything. In fact, from the moment I wake up in the morning, I kind of begin this mantra of doubt in my head. My therapist probably would call it anxiety. But I do. I doubt a lot. I get up in the morning and the first thing I have to decide is what I'm going to wear appropriate for what I'm going to do today? And would I be overdressed if I wore this, or would I be underdressed if I wore that? And would people take me seriously if I don't dress the way they think that the regional minister has to dress? And then I move into, is the 4 hours I've given myself to drive to where I'm going for this meeting that's half an hour away enough time? Do you see where I'm going? I doubt a lot of things. I worry about everything. I doubt and I worry and I wonder about life. I was saying up in DeWitt, and I use my GPS a lot, not because I don't always know where I'm going, although that is actually a big problem for me, but I use my GPS a lot because it tells me where there's accidents and where there's problems in the road so that I can detour around them. And when I was driving to, so I was using it this morning because I was coming up the highway and I wanted to make sure there was no accidents or anything in my way. More importantly, no speed traps. And there's a long story about that, which we will do on another day. And my GPS wanted me to drive halfway to Calgary to get the turning to Witten that is like along McLeod Trail. Like, I'd have to drive past DeWitten to turn around to come back to, I don't know where it was going, but I definitely doubted my GPS. I doubt my GPS because I'm not sure if it's taking me the right way or whether it's taking me the way that the algorithm that has been taught by everybody who gets lost, that this is the right way to go, right? I feel like that is my whole life, wondering if I'm going in the right direction. Doubting everything I see and everything I do. So Thomas, I like Thomas because of that, because Thomas doubts. But what he doubts is not Jesus. What he doubts is the word of the other disciples. He questions it, right? He's not doubting Jesus. He's doubting the question, doubting the words of the other disciples. And he wants to make sure that what they are telling him is indeed true. And in fact, when Jesus appears the following week and Jesus invites them to touch the wounds, Thomas doesn't say, "Yeah, you're not Jesus. No, it's not good." He says, "You are my Lord and God." Thomas has great faith in Jesus. He just questions his brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I think it's a really good thing to be a person of doubt when you're a person of faith. I struggle with certainty because when I'm really certain about something, that's usually when I'm most wrong about something. When we live with a sense of certainty in our lives that we absolutely know that what we are saying is true and absolutely what we're doing is absolutely right, absolutely all the time, you tend to trip over being wrong a lot. Well, that's my experience. I don't know if that's your experience, but it's certainly my experience. So Thomas gives me the courage, the great courage to doubt. And to doubt faith. And to doubt what's being said in the name of faith. I question everything everyone tells me when it comes to their faith. Not because I don't believe they've got a faith, but I wanna ask questions. I get curious, and so it comes over as a lot of doubting. But I also know that people doubt my faith. I don't know so this is the rabbit hole I do not recommend on social media. Just saying. But the whole was Twitter, now X, Facebook, Christian world is not a place to go. I'm just saying. Don't go there. You will go down rabbit holes you will not imagine. And in those rabbit holes, there's a lot of certainty. There's people saying that this is the only way to believe in Jesus because I'm telling you that, because I'm right. Whereas I think Jesus invites us into a strong sense of curiosity about our faith, that we should question. We should question our church. We should question other Christians. We should be asking serious questions about how we're interpreting the life and story of Jesus. We shouldn't be taking at face value what someone always tells us. You shouldn't be taking at face value what I'm telling you. We are encouraged by Thomas to ask questions, of others about how they see Jesus. People doubt our faith. People will say things like, "You're not a real Christian if you don't believe X, Y, and Z. You're not a real Christian if you welcome trans kids into your community. You're not a real Christian if you let a woman preach. You're not real Christians if you don't send your kids to this particular school or follow this particular mantra or these sets of rules." For me, that doesn't leave us the space to doubt and question and wonder about who Jesus is for us. We don't get the space to actually go in there and think and discuss together what it means to be people of faith. And in fact, what happens is, for me at least, my doubt takes me into greater faith, not less faith, because I'm able to struggle with the questions. And Thomas gives me permission to do that. Thomas gives us all permission to do that, to go in and ask questions, knowing that Jesus is there, ready to receive them. That Jesus is the steadfast and probably only certainty I have in life. that I can actually go there and ask my questions. I can take my doubts and my worries and go to Jesus and say, this is what I'm struggling with. And to listen to the wisdom of others who are in faith, to listen to the wisdom of Scripture, and to find where Jesus is calling me to. The problem for me sometimes when I doubt is that sometimes I feel my doubts are greater than my faith. I've got so much doubt about stuff that maybe I'm not being a good enough Christian. But as I say, Thomas is the one who gives me permission. Thomas doesn't doubt that Jesus is there for him. When Jesus appears, Thomas doesn't question that it's Jesus. He's invited by Jesus in with his doubts and his worries and his concerns to touch his very wounds. And when he's in there touching those wounds, he recognizes Jesus for who he is. He is indeed his Lord, his God. When I'm in that place, or when we're in that place of asking and questioning and doubting, I think it's also the place where we can be most vulnerable before God. We can bring our wounds to God, and we can have God touch them and heal them for us. We can be healed in that doubt because we're willing to engage. I have no place for God to come in as in my heart and help, even blocking God off. Now, if we go back to the scripture, when Jesus appears to the disciples, he tells them who he is. He brings them the message of peace. They, up until that moment, are living in fear. It says in the scripture, they were gathered together with the door locked because they were still living with doubt. But it's poor Thomas that gets the kind of branded as the doubtful one. But actually, they're all doubtful. They're all fearful. None of them have the answer until Jesus appears to them and brings the peace. So for me, this story, this post-Easter experience of the disciples, is that opportunity for us to be doubtful too, to ask the questions that we want to ask of God, to build relationship up with one another, to ask the questions together, to find our compatriots on the journey of wondering and asking. We're not in this to be certain so that others cannot enter in amongst us. We're here to be doubt-filled wanderers that invite everyone into our space. And we know the church gets it wrong, right? We know the church gets it wrong. But because we're able to wonder and doubt and enter into conversation, we can work towards reconciliation and new things. And a congregation or community of faith that can wonder and doubt is also open to the possibility of bringing new people in, bringing the people who have lived on the margins of our society, who are persecuted in our societies, because they do not have, or they do not behave in a way that verifies the certainty of others. That means that we can welcome trans kids into our communities. It means that we can welcome the brokenhearted and the wounded and those who feel unloved. Because we have opened ourselves up to the possibility that we may not be perfect either, and that we may be wounded and in need of God's healing too. And so we can be in that deep relationship of wondering together, to be doubters, seeking to find Jesus. And what happens for me, at least, and I hope this might happen for you, is that when I enter into that wondering place, when I'm full of doubt, I start to see Jesus in the actions of others. I see Jesus in the love and compassion of those who sit in the pews with me, or in the actions of those who offer to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give water to those who thirst, to set those who are persecuted free from their oppression. I start to see Jesus in all of those actions because those are the things he spoke about and he talked about. When I'm open to the wonderings, I start to see that, in fact, God's presence is everywhere. That God is in the new life of a spring Sunday morning. That God is present amongst us in the willingness for us to stand and sing together and open our hearts and worship. So when I think about this passage, when I think about Thomas, I don't see someone who doubts God or doubts Jesus. I see somebody who is simply in a place of curiosity and wondering about what is going on. And who could blame him? Jesus has died. The tomb is empty. There's stories of angels. The women are running around telling all kinds of crazy stories. And he's appeared, apparently, to them in a locked room. If we're not wondering about the stories of Jesus, if we're not wondering about the power of God that he's experienced through Jesus' life, then we're not paying attention. We're simply in a place of certitude that will probably trip us up and take us into all kinds of wrong places. But if we join the disciples, if we join Thomas and the others in the wondering and the doubt, I wonder what would happen. We could move into beautiful places together. They did. They went on to do amazing things. Some were persecuted and killed. Others started communities of faith. But they did not stop in a place and simply say, well, you know, Jesus appeared to us. It's all good. We don't need to worry anymore. We're safe. We don't need to tell the world anything. No, their wondering and their doubt took him out the door. And they managed to overcome their fears, and they went out into the world and preached the good news. And we carry that on. We carry on a tradition of doubt and wondering. But it is a beautiful place of the gathering of the community in order to wonder and doubt together. So let's wonder and doubt this week. Let's ask the good questions. Let's feel the winds of Christ in the response that we get from our community and from God. Thanks be to God.